a noise. There is a sound. There is a cry from the depths of our hearts. Heaven come down. We'll not be silenced. Can't be contained. The cry of a people, a priesthood, a nation called by your name. Darkness, redeemed from the night, bathed in his glory, reflecting his light. Oh, what a beautiful.
Test 2, 3. Shabbat Shalom, everybody. Welcome to the Lion of Judah Messianic Congregation. Ari Yehuda, you okay there, Anthony? All right. We want to survive. The goal is to survive services today. We have Mr. Anthony Cody almost... hurt himself, or maybe I hope he didn't hurt himself on the way up here today, but anyhow, we welcome you, welcome everyone. Let's give a round of applause to the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. We welcome you all. Welcome the folks watching on live stream. And God bless you today. Shabbat Shalom. We're going to begin with some worship, and Miss Dawn's going to lead us. I'm Rabbi Joe. This is Terry and Diane over there in the corner, looking very French today.
Bonjour.
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 Bless him with our feet, and we just thank the Lord for life in this world and life everlasting. Hallelujah. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher natan lanu et derech Yeshua b'Mashiach Yeshua. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation in Messiah Yeshua. Amen.
Thank you.
I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend the knee before the Lord my Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation.
Amen. I want to welcome everyone today, and I want to just answer a couple questions. Why do we do any Hebrew? And this is the language that our Lord, our Savior, spoke and when he was in the synagogue. It says in Luke chapter 4 that as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath. And this is the language of the scrolls that he would read and that they spoke. So people get to hear it. If you've never heard it before, and folks watching on TV as well, and we always try to translate to English what we say, but we want people to hear it, hear the language of the Messiah. And also, we'll talk more later, but we'll get the Vishamru now.
That's okay.
All right. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-Shabbat. Lasod et ha-Shabbat ledorotam barit olam. Veshamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-Shabbat. Lasod et ha-Shabbat ledorotam barit olam. B'nei Yisrael, Ohi Leolam. Veshamru, B'nei Yisrael, Et HaShabbat. Lasot Et HaShabbat, Ledorotam Barit Olam. Ki Sheshet Yamim, Asa Adonai, Shmayim v'et haaretz. Veshamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-Shabbat. Lasod et ha-Shabbat ledorotam barit olam. V'yom ha-shvi Shabbat v'nefash, Shabbat v'nefash, Shabbat v'nefash. Veshamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-Shabbat. Lasod et ha-Shabbat ledorotam barit olam.
The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat,
observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord. Shalom, shalom, Yerushalayim. Shalom, shalom, Yerushalayim. Shalom. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. You may give him praise.
And we're going to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Huh? Abba, Father, we come before you right now, and we pray. Your word says in Psalm 122, verse 6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper who love her. And we pray, Shalom, Shalom, Yerushalayim. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem today. Lord, here in Bristol, Virginia, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem and all Israel. Lord, we pray that the peace of the Messiah would dwell in every heart, Jewish and Palestinian or Arab, and that your peace would come down and you would reveal yourself to your people, Lord, through all levels of society, from the prime minister to the trash collectors and the street sweepers, Lord, that your to the people who work in the restaurants like I did, and to all the people, Lord, work throughout the country. We pray that the peace of the Messiah would come to Jerusalem, to Israel. Thank you, Lord, that you save your people Israel. Protect them, Lord, from attacks. Shine your light when the enemy tries to attack them and expose the schemes of the enemy. Shine your light and give them warning, Lord. Let the rockets fall in the desert or in the ocean or the sea. Let the cars, when they try to hit people, let them stall. Let their knives fall out of their hands. Let their guns jam, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, that you protect as many as possible, Lord. We thank you. In the name of Yeshua, and Lord, we pray for the Messianic Jewish community today, for our leaders. I pray for Joel Chernoff, for vision, for wisdom, for direction as he leads our community, and his brother David, the same thing, for wisdom and direction, for the executive committees and councils. Lord, that you bless them with, give us godly leadership, Lord. Give us righteous leadership. And if there are those who are not of you, take them out, Lord. I pray also for the rabbis today, that you just help them, give them the desires of their heart, heal the sick, meet the needs of those who are struggling, who are struggling and have need. Lord, help the rabbis today. Bless them with their messages. Give them boldness today, and save the lost, Lord. Save our friends, our Jewish friends today, and all of our friends who are praying for, who don't know you. We pray, Lord, for their salvation today, for our families, our loved ones, and our friends who don't know you. We pray, Lord, that you would remove the blinders from their eyes, Lord, that the scales fall off. And we ask, Lord, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We ask in Yeshua, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And now the Lord says, he who formed Israel in the womb to be his servant,
to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself.
For he is honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength.
Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant,
to restore the tribes of Jacob, and bring back those of Israel he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.
Amen. I had this friend, Pastor Ronnie. He used to say, "Amen, Brother Joe. Amen." I loved it. I loved it when he said that to me.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Be gracious, O Lord our God, to your people,
Israel.
Your people, Israel.
the Shema. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kevod, Malchuto Leolam Vaed, V'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha v'chol levavcha u'v'chol nafshecha u'v'chol me'odecha v'hayu hadivarim ha'ele asher anochi mitzvcha al levavecha v'dibarta baham b'shivtecha b'veitecha u'v'lechtecha v'derech u'v'shachbecha u'v'kumecha u'kishartam liot al yadecha V'hayula totafot pein einecha U'chatav tam Al mezuzot beitecha U'visharecha.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand. Let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates.
Amen. That is the central, that's the holiest prayer of Judaism, is the Shema. It's also our Lord Yeshua. Jesus said that the most important thing in the scripture is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and all our strength. So the most significant thing that Jesus said in the New Testament is also the most significant thing to the Jewish people. It's interesting that both Judaism and Christianity agree on what is the most important thing, and that's all in that prayer that we just say. Okay, I'm going to ask, David, are you up for carrying today? All right. I'm going to ask David and Isaac to carry the Torah today, and if Charlie would come and open the ark for us. Bechol dor vador, Adonai melech, Adonai malach, Adonai imloch leolam vaed, Adonai oz liamo yitain, Adonai yivarech et amo bashalom. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, and there is nothing like your works. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom,
and your dominion is throughout all generations.
The Lord reigns, the Lord has reigned, the Lord will reign forever and ever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Amen.
Have it done.
Hallelujah. The praise. I felt that praise. Did you? How many of you know that the praise went before the Ark of the Covenant? And it really brought the enemies to their knees.
Amen.
And that's what happens. Hallelujah. Vayehi ben Soharon vayemer Moshe. Gona Adonai vifutsu oivecha. Vienusu misanecha mipanecha. Ki mitzion tetze Torah. Ki mitzion tetze Torah. Udavar Adonai mi Yerushalayim.
When the
Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah. Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah. Uyamo Yisrael biktu shato.
When the ark would travel, Moses would say, Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered.
And let them that hate you flee from you.
For from Zion will go forth the Torah,
and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem.
Blessed be he who in his holiness gave the Torah to his people, Israel.
Amen.
And for those who are first-timers, what we're doing is marching with the Torah. That's what the Bible looked like in the time of the Messiah. And in the scrolls, Paul said, please tell so-and-so to bring me my scrolls. That's the first five books of the Bible right there, the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. That's... just to give you an idea, a scribe would take a year to write one of those scrolls, and if he made a mistake, he'd have to start all over again. So if he got through Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, got into Numbers and Deuteronomy, and he made a mistake, he'd have to go back and start all over again. So scrolls were very expensive, and they're made of lambskin, of parchment, and they're very, very expensive because not so much just the materials, but the time and the effort of a man to put into it. And so the only people who could afford them were very wealthy people, or synagogues had them. So the Gentiles would come into the synagogues to hear the word of the Lord. And you see that in Acts 15, where James says, he tells the Gentiles, he says, all you have to do to meet the basic requirements of the faith is avoid blood, strangulation, avoid fornication, and strangulation, animals that are strangled. Don't eat animals that are strangled. And don't eat, what's the fourth thing? What's that? Food sacrificed to idols. That's right. Don't eat food sacrificed to idols. So those were the four things. But then James goes on to say, for Moses is preached in every city. So if you want more, this is the four basic, this is the minimum requirement. But if you want to learn more, you go to a synagogue. Moses is preached in every city. And you can learn, you go to the synagogue and hear the word of the Lord, is what he was telling them, basically. Because there were no churches in the first century. All right, let's go on. Ya'amod Asher ben Zedekiah. You may be seated. Ya'amod Asher ben Zedekiah. Baruch Adonai Hamavorach.
Baruch Adonai
Hamroch Yolam Va'ed. Baruch Adonai
Hamroch Yolam Va'ed.
Baruch Atah Adonai Asher Bachar Bani Mikol Hamim Benatan Lanu Et Torato. Baruch Atah Adonai Noten HaTorah. Amen. Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. Blessed is the Lord, the Blessed One, for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe,
who has chosen
us from all peoples
and given us
his Torah.
Blessed
are you, O Lord,
giver
of the Torah. Amen. Amen.
Okay, today's Torah portion is called Bo, and it's from Exodus chapter 10 through 13. And Bo, we're not talking, it doesn't mean Bojangles. I know they've got that little catchy thing of Bo biscuit or Bowberry, something like that. Anyway, it's talking about to enter, but God is telling Moses that he will not be alone when he goes to see Pharaoh. And if you've been following, reading the Torah portions, you know, last week we covered the first, we had the first seven of the plagues. Today we see the locusts come and they devour everything in sight. And then we see the ninth plague is the total darkness that covered the land for 6 days. And there was light in where the Israelites was at, but where the Egyptians lived, everything was total darkness. And this wasn't a darkness like you may think when you go outside at night. This was a total darkness. You could not see your hand in front of your face. It was, nothing was recognizable. In other words, you couldn't like make out shadows or anything. It was total darkness. You know, if you look at Moses and his life, you know, his first encounter was at the burning bush with God. And that's where God called his attention and told him to take his shoes off, that it was holy ground that he was occupying. And so he goes on from the burning bush to these plagues. And through all this, God has been telling Moses that he is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He has repeatedly said, there is no other one but me. I am the only God there is. Egypt has gods, but they are animals. They are pieces of marble or stone or wood. They do not physically exist other than in the things that they're made into. And so we see today, if you read this parasha, it's really all about Passover and the preparation and in part that we see about the Seder that goes with the Passover. You see, God is preparing the final blow to the Egyptians because it's with the death of the firstborn. It's interesting. God asked Abraham to give up his firstborn son that from Sarah, which was, of course, Isaac. And we see today, if you read this parasha today, you'll see that we encounter the first mitzvah that's in the scriptures, along with the first, actually, feast that God has instituted begins in this parasha today. And the first mitzvah was the initiation or the creation of the calendar. God had already established it. It was just the Israelites didn't know about it. Why didn't he tell them? Because they had no need to know about time or place or anything, because they were, after all, slaves in Egypt. The slave masters told them everything they needed to do. They told them when to get up, when to go to bed, when to eat, what to wear, and what to do. So they had no, they didn't matter if it was Monday, Saturday, Friday. They had no need to know of the days. But why did God give them the first mitzvah of the calendar? It was so they could be at the appointed times that God has established. And if you come to Passover, you'll be observing Passover, standing before God at the same time Moses stood thousands of years ago. It still starts on the 10th of Nisan, and on the 14th you have the sacrifice. So it's the first month that God established was the month of Nisan. And God instructed the Israelites, if you read this, he says on the 10th day of the month, you are to pick a lamb, a male, up to 1 year old, with no blemishes, a perfect lamb. And on the 14th day, you will take the lamb's life, and you will take its blood, and you will roast the lamb, and you will eat it with bitter herbs. And if you didn't have a large enough family, you had to join together. But everyone was to partake of a lamb on the 14th of Nisan. And so we see that was the first Passover. Why did God say pick one on the 10th? Why not just go into the field and grab one on the 14th? He wants you to take one on the 10th day because he wants the lamb to be with you, so you have giving up something that you have become acquainted to. It's not like you just grab one out of the field and you kill it and eat it. It means that God wanted you to have a relationship, an association with the lamb from the 10th day forward. Why is the 10th day important? If you look at the book of John, I believe it's the 12th chapter, it says that it was 6 days before Passover. If you count back, 6 days would have been the ninth day of Nisan. But it says the next day, Yeshua went into Jerusalem. That would have been the day you picked the lamb. So if you're familiar with that part of the Passover day that a lot of Christians celebrate, is Palm Sunday. That was the 10th of Nisan. That was the day that Yeshua was picked as the lamb for the sacrifice. That's why he went in, and they hailed him as the king. And 4 days later, they were ready to execute him and to make to make the sacrifice. That's what he was for. You see, the Passover is a bold statement that God made to the Egyptians. You see, the lamb in Egyptian culture was considered a deity. They thought it was something holy, but God chose it to represent the sacrifice of his son. And so this parasha, as I said, we have the first moed, which was Passover. You know, what's interesting about the appointed times of God is that they occur every year at the same time. So it doesn't, when we stand like for Passover or Shavuot, we're standing as thousands of years ago, the people then stood on that same day and observed that same feast. So we stand with them, and it's never changed. That cycle has never changed. God's appointed times. That's why he gave the Israelites the calendar, so they would be sure to be observant on that exact day. And God gives them exact time tonight. Today, he says that when he is going to slay the firstborn, he gave the Egyptians many times to repent and accept him as the God of Israel, but they would not do that. And we see today, if you read this, and it's one of the best parashas, I think, in the scriptures, and God gives a specific time that he will come and slay the firstborn. He says, at midnight, I will come and destroy the firstborn in every household in Egypt. But what were the Israelites required to do? They had to take the blood of the lamb, and they had to dip it with, take hyssop leaves, which is one of the lowest plants that was around that time, and they were to strike the doorpost, the lintel, the top of the doorpost, and the side posts with the blood. What was significant about striking the door? And the strike, the mark of strike, means is the Hebrew letter tav. And to strike the door, God didn't say strike the windows or the exterior parts of the door. He said strike the doors of each entrance. So if you had a back door or a side door, you put the blood there. You see, the door is a sign of readiness to obey God. That's what Yeshua said. He says, I stand and knock at the door. You have to open the door for him to come in. And that's God. When God said strike the door, that was us being to obey God and to be ready for his entrance into our lives. That's why the door was struck. And the hyssop tells us that it's one of the lowest plants that was used, but tells of redemption, of our redemption, and the personal experience that each of us must go through. We all must experience an Egypt in our life and go through the blood on the door. And that is the Torah portion for this day. Shabbat Shalom.
Share some Moshe, leaf nay, b'nei Yisrael, Moshe.
And this is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel at the command of the Lord through Moses' hand.
Blessed. All her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord, and we shall return. Renew our days as of old.
Amen. And you know, another point about carrying the Torah, some people reach out and kiss it with their Bible or their prayer shawl. And that is not because they worship the book. We worship the God of the book. But it's a way of showing respect. It's a custom of the Jewish people. Hallelujah.
Okay, you may be seated. Just a couple of announcements. We'll continue with our worship this morning. And just want to welcome everyone once again. People who have come out. It's been several weeks of difficult weather. And so I think people are starting to thaw out a little bit. And so it's great to have you here. I see the Plotz is out. And Earl, it's great to have you. And Ronnie, it's great to have you again. And it looks like the Meadowview contingent was able to get out from Emery and Henry, is that right? From up in Glade Spring. Praise the Lord. And we have some visitors from Kingsport. Is this Linda and Truman? That's it's great to have you, Linda and Truman Krieger. Welcome.
Round of applause.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. And how did you hear about us? Wonderful. And what church? Okay. Amen. Well, we're glad you came. Hallelujah. And we also want to welcome everyone online and who are watching. We'll have the Facebook going here in a few minutes for Rabbi's message, and those folks will also be able to join. And if you like what's going on, shoot us an email. Also, sign up for our regular mailings if you want to stay in touch and hear about what's going on. We always got something special going on, so you never want to miss. So please stay on our mailing list, and all you got to do is just get your email in there, or your mailing address and your phone number. Your phone number is important, because if your email kicks back on me, then I can call you. But if your email kicks back for some reason, I have no way to get in touch with you. So please make sure that you give me your phone number, a good phone number that I can call you or my assistant. Just a couple of things coming up. Next week, we have some special music for Shabbat again. It's Oksana and Boaz Eliyahu, and she'll be doing some special presentation music. She was a presenter at the Southeast Conference, I think, and she's been around the Messianic movement quite a bit. And
she's from Israel?
She is from Israel and Russia, I think, mm-hmm. So via Russia. So she's a Russian-Israeli Jew, and her husband, just lovely couple, and I think you'll really enjoy them. They're very spirit-filled and just the heart of the Lord. So I hope you'll come out to see Oksana and Boaz. We'll be sending out some, like I said, email and communication reminders about that this week. And I don't know if Carol was able to pull up any of her songs. It's on, I have it written there on the sheet, oksanasite.com. If you want to try and find it, maybe in a few minutes we can look at it. Also, we have a chance, and I've got to call the scheduler about this. We do have a chance to get another really great music group in. How many of you know who New Jerusalem is? Novi Yerushalayim. Anybody remember Novi Yerushalayim?
New Jerusalem.
New Jerusalem. You've done some dances to their music. I was actually watching it last night. We did a dance, The Bride. You remember that? Well, I don't know if you were on the team at that time, The Bride. But anyway, speaking of Russia, because Oksana is from Russia and Israel, this team, New Jerusalem, is the only way I can describe it is the Russian equivalent of DC Talk.
You're going to end up bringing Robert Mueller down here.
Why?
People are going to think we're doing having Russian collusion or something.
Yeah, the Russian collusion at Ari Yehuda Messianic Congregation. Anyway, it's
that was a joke.
It's a Russian. It's a Russian. The season for Russia. So I
these
have
are good Russians.
Yes, Novi Yerushalayim has presented at the Messiah Conference many times. They've been the keynote musicians there. Just a phenomenal group. And we have the chance to bring them to the Tri-Cities. They're on the level of Makedem. If you enjoyed Makedem, it's kind of the same, not the same thing, but it's on the same level. They are just excellent musicians. They're performers and worshipers. And I hope that we can bring them. I'm trying to work with the other another church, but I've got to get a date. We've got either March 26th, March 16th or the 23rd that we can choose, and I've got to pencil it in like probably today or tomorrow. So please pray about that, and pray if we get another church to help us, because we need to bless them. They're coming from Russia, and it's four people in their group, and we do need to bless them with a good offering. So keep that in mind and stay tuned, and I'll send you out the communication. Also, are we on the schedule for January 26th to do a Friday night service?
Not January. I think February 23rd. February 23rd, we're doing a Friday night service, joint service with New Life Baptist Church on Volunteer Parkway, just past the Speedway. It's going to start at 6 p.m., I think, or 5 p.m. We'll let you know on that. But they're going to serve us dinner. They're serving dinner, spaghetti dinner for us. And in return, we're leading some worship, and I'll be speaking, and we're doing it together. And we're going to hope to do this monthly. And the goal is possibly to join with them and start meeting there. They have two campuses, one that they're not using, so we're looking at taking. They have a beautiful campus they're not using, near the Speedway. It's a church building and a
family life center
that they don't use. That just sits empty, and they're so they'd like for us to come there, and it's a nice location. So but in order to do that, we need to work with them and do some things. So I really encourage you to try to come out and support this event and meet these people. They're inviting us, welcoming us, and then as we get to know them, and we'll decide, you know, whether it's the Lord, and we'll pray. We are praying, you know, whether we go and move into that empty camp part of their campus, and so it's exciting. God's doing a new thing. I know He's doing something with Pastor Bill Christian, and I just, you know, we're starting with a Friday night service. So anyway, that's February 23rd. Put it on your calendar. Spaghetti dinner, Friday night service, and we're going to be having hopefully at least a monthly Friday night meeting for those who can't come on Saturdays. There's a lot of folks out there who can't come on a Saturday.
Praise the Lord. And so the next feast coming up is Purim, and we'll keep you tuned on special events for that. And that's all I have for announcements right now. We're going to continue with tithes and offerings, and then don't forget we've got Oneg following the service, and so stay for some fellowship and food afterwards. And I believe that's all.
Okay.
If we want to run that... have you got Oksana up? Yeah, okay. Why don't we do that for the offering?
Yeah, sure.
Do that for the offering.
Okay, for the offering, we'll play Oksana. So you get, she's coming next week to sing and testify, and she's very famous in the Messianic circles all across the country and in Israel. You'll see her on the internet, and she'll be here next Saturday morning. So you can see her. We're going to take the offering, so let me pray. Folks at home, if you're watching and if you'd like to contribute, if you don't have a congregation, or if you'd like to make a donation, there's a way you can do that online. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the giver. We thank you for the gift. We pray that you bless them a hundredfold, Lord. Bless the people a hundredfold as they give today. And we just thank you, Lord, that you multiply these gifts for your kingdom, your glory, and for the vision, your vision. And we ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. May God bless you as you give. If you're making out a check, you can do it to For Zion's Sake Ministries, For Zion's Sake. And by the way, we have a basket of spare change for the poor in Israel. If you have any spare change and you'd like to give to the poor in Israel, we have a basket next to the box. Just, you know, take your spare change and put it in there. We collect that and we send it to Israel every few months. Thank you.
יום חדש בחיים, יום הלל אלוהים, יום שמחה, יום ברכה, יום אהבה. יום חדש בחיים, יום הלל אלוהים, יום שמחה, יום ברכה, יום אהבה.
Can go to oksanasite.com and see more of her songs and her what she's doing for ministry. Hallelujah. Would you just play another song of hers for a second, please?
Praise report?
Yes, I do.
Terry gave me a praise report. He's been suffering from a brain tumor for how long?
Since August 2016.
And how did it go when you went to the doctors for an MRI this week?
Well, the doctor told me that the radiologist told me, the doctor before said, these don't go away, they're inoperable, but they just stay there. So the Lord spoke to me and told me that I healed you. My words healed you. Don't accept nothing but my word. And the word of God got in me, guess what? It's going down a little bit at a time. But the Lord told me, he said, line upon line, precept upon precept, my word's going in you. And I'm destroying that. And he said, you're going to see the manifestation and the complete total healing, and it's going to baffle me. And and it's going to be documented. And it's going down, and I know as I'm sitting here that it's done. Because faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen, and that's what I'm holding in my spirit. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
I'm healed.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
And he even got a vacation last night at midnight.
That's right. Hallelujah.
You're a blessed man.
That's right.
Courtesy of Chuck Schumer. Hallelujah. Well, let's pray for Celeste. Celeste Robin, our administrative assistant, her daughter Celeste has developed sepsis, and we want to pray for her. She had a blocked intestine due to a hernia that was blocking her intestine, and they had to remove part of her intestine. So let's pray for Celeste's healing. Father, we just lift Celeste up to you, and we pray, Lord, that you would touch her body, heal her, Lord, heal, take the infection, Lord, the sepsis from her blood, Lord, help them. I pray that you kill the infection, Lord. I know you're going to use antibiotics, but that you kill the infection, kill that sepsis, and restore her intestinal function. Restore her bowel and her bowel function, Lord. And we pray that everything is restored to normal. In the name of Yeshua, the name of our Messiah, we thank you, Lord. And we pray for healing for all those who are sick and have need, Lord. If you have a need, we just lift up your hand to the Lord, and he knows what your need is. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Heal Aja, Lord, and heal her foot, and anything else that's troubling her, Lord. Just you know what it is, Lord. Just touch her in the name of Yeshua. Pray for Crystalline today. She's sick, and we just pray for her. Lord, I also want to pray for the ladies who are taking care of their parents, and pray for Brenda, Lord, that you heal her and give her strength. And help her to take care of her, I believe, her mother. And I pray also for that you bring Brenda back to us soon, Lord, that she would be well enough and that things would be okay for her to leave and come on Shabbat. Pray also, Lord, for Karen Gaby as she takes care of her parents and works a job, Lord. It's an amazing task to take care of your parents when they're elderly and frail and sick, and to work a job. It's an overwhelming task. So we pray you give her strength and help her lift her arms through this period, and bring Karen back to us, Lord. We pray for Sharon Phillippe, Lord, that you would bring her back, Lord, and help her to get out and just bring healing in her life, Lord. You know her needs, Lord. Bring healing in Sharon's life, Father, and we ask in the name of Yeshua, and for all the needs out there today, we just thank you that you answer the prayers in Yeshua's mighty name. And I pray for my mother, who's been struggling to breathe, even though her medication was helping her breathe, and then it stopped helping her, and so she's really been struggling. So I pray for Harriet that you would help her to breathe, Lord, and I pray for her salvation today. Lord, I pray that you would reveal yourself to her, Lord Yeshua. Reveal yourself to Harriet and save her. And in the name of Yeshua, folks, if you're watching and you don't know where you're going when you leave this world, you need to know. If you don't know where you're going, you're not going to a good place. You're not going to a good place. So you really have 70, 80, 90 years if you're super strong. But that's all you have, and when you're going to meet your Maker, you're going to stand in front of them, and you're going to have to give an account. And if you don't have a good answer, and you don't have a good lawyer, and when you get to the other side, it's not going to be good for you. So get to know Yeshua, that's Jesus. Get to know the Messiah, and be saved. Amen.
Thank you. Blessed is Adonai, sing his praises. Blessed is Adonai in all the earth. Blessed is Adonai, his love endures forever. Blessed is Adonai in all the earth. Fortress Redeemer, there is one beside him. Rock of Israel, my God in whom I trust.
Just a redeemer, there is a desire.
of God. We will sound the alarm. Salvation has come. We will dance, we will praise, we will worship the name. And all will bow before the glory. All will bow before the glory of God. Now arise, O Lord, to your resting place. All your power and might. As we stand here clothed in righteousness, we will sing and dance for joy. For you have chosen Zion as a place for you to dwell. Come on! We will run to the mountain of God. We will sound the alarm. Salvation is gone. We will dance, we will praise, we will worship the name. Covenant will stand, and on your throne in Jerusalem, you provided a land, for you have chosen Zion to make your glory known. Everybody, we will run to the mountain of God, we will sound the alarm, salvation has come, we will dance, we will praise and worship the name. All will bow before the Lord. All will bow before the Lord. And all will bow before the Lord of God. We will run. We will run. We will run to the mountain of God. We will sound the alarm. Salvation has come. We will dance. We will praise. We will worship the name. Odula Donai Kito, Odula Donai Kito. We will run, we will run to the mountain of God. We will sound the alarm, salvation has come. We will dance, we will praise, we will worship the name. And all will bow before the Lord. And all will bow.
Let us run to the mountain of the Lord. Let's not walk. Let's not dilly-dally around. Say dilly-dilly. Dally-dally. Let's not dilly-dilly-dally-dally. Let's run to the mountain of the Lord. Amen.
Let my voice proclaim. hope of David. Now we see bringing us salvation. Root of Jesse, Lion of Judah, Judge of Israel. Now we praise you for your joy. Praise you for your joy. Love that never fails. Love that never fails. His love, it never fails. We shall take love, it never fails. Your love, it never fails. Adonai, Abba,
hallelujah, his love never fails. Yeshua, your love never fails. And I am eternally grateful for all that he's done for me. Never look back to the glories of the past, but he does ask us to remember the glories of what he's done for us. Hallelujah. Amen. He asks us to look back and remember all the wonderful things that he's done for us. So we remember, Lord, that you brought us through the sea. You brought us through the part of the sea for us. And you fed us in the wilderness. And you brought us into a good land. We are eternally grateful.
I am eternally grateful to Jesus for all he has done for me. He has given me life and salvation, given me liberty. Lord, I praise and I bless your name. Give the glory.
last one too. Okay. I'll turn that off back there. Just good. Just leave that. That's good. I didn't turn it off, but we're going to go to the Lord's table, the Shulchan Adonai, the table of the Lord. And for those of you who are around here, that's communion. Somebody want to shut off my bass amp back there? Would you do that, Diane? Thank you. So if you're at home and you have some crackers or some matzah, or some fruit of the vine that you like to get and join us, this would be a good time to do that. We do it every week, so if you watch us, it's great. Feel free to prepare every week because we always go to the Lord's table. All right. So praise God. Gene, would you like to serve today? And Deborah, would you like to come up and serve? Come on up. All right, let's. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam borei pri hagafen. Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Amen. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth, and Yeshua, the Messiah, the bread of life, who rose from the earth on the third day, conquering the power of sin and death. Amen. It was on Passover night, Yeshua, that's Jesus, and he took the middle layer of three pieces we call afikomen. He took that middle layer and he broke it into small pieces, which are always taken after the meal at Passover, at every Passover meal, and he gave them out to his disciples, and he said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." That same Passover night, he took the third cup, known as Luke 22 calls it the cup taken after the meal, and we call it, in Jewish people call it, the cup of redemption of Passover. And it's taken after the meal. Isn't that amazing? And has been for thousands of years. And he blessed it and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sin." Hallelujah. And so he forever changed the meaning of Passover by explaining the new covenant, that he himself was going to be the sacrifice of the new covenant. His body would be broken, would be sacrificed, would be cut, would be bruised, would be whipped, scourged, and crucified, beaten, and that he would die for our sins, and that his blood would by his blood, by his stripes, we would be forgiven and healed. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a moment. If there's anybody here that doesn't know, or at home, if you're watching and you'd bow your heads with us, if there's anybody that doesn't know Yeshua, doesn't know Jesus as your Savior, as your personal Savior, if you don't know him, just raise your hand and I'll pray with you today. If you don't know Yeshua personally as your Savior, you know, he may be somebody else's Savior, or your next door neighbor, or your friends, or your bosses, or your cousin Susie, but he may not be your Savior. And so he wants to be your Savior. So all you have to do is just pray, just ask him. You know, the Bible says if we believe in our hearts and we confess with our mouth that Yeshua, that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. And so just say this with me. Dear God, I believe that you sent your Son to die in my place, to be my sacrifice, to wash away my sins, to cleanse my life, to empty me of all the sin and all the mistakes that I've ever made and all the bad things that I've done. Forgive me, God, and come into my heart and put my name in your book of life. In Yeshua's name. Amen. Well, let's prepare our hearts to come and to receive His grace. This is His table of grace. Receive the grace of the Lord as these ladies are going to serve you now. Come as you're ready. Say what? What do you want me to do? Sing it?
Did you
sing? Yeah.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Chaim be Yeshua, to life in Yeshua, in Jesus. Amen. Children, so I'd like to invite the children to come up. And
we need to pray for Joshua. He hurt his elbow.
Really?
And he's on his way. He's back. I think he should be here now.
Okay. Come on, adults. Let's gather around Billy and let's pray for the kids and those who aren't here and those who are. Children today, those who are Billy and Xavier, those who are with us, those who are not with us, we pray for Joshua today. Lord, you heal his elbow. I don't know what he did, but we just pray that you heal him, Lord, from his head to his feet. Heal his elbow, Lord. Let there be nothing broken, nothing lost, and restore him to health. Just be with all the children. Heal Crystal Lynn and bless Xavier and Billy and Isaac and Chan. And we just give you thanks, Lord, for all our kids. And we just pray, Lord, that you would fill them with your word, anoint them, and help them to give them ears to hear your word and to do your word, to be not just hearers of the word, but to be doers of the word. If they go to class, anoint their teachers, Lord, and to bring forth your message today. We pray in Yeshua's name, Lord. Bless them with all the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Rachel, Leah, and Rebecca. In Yeshua's name, amen. What's the matter?
He went for a ball on the outside and hit the wall with his hand and grinned it back this year.
Thank you. Well, all right. Isaac, could you bring it just a little closer so it's hard to see on the screen when you're watching? Yeah, thank you. That's good. Okay. Shalom, everyone. Let's pray for the word of the Lord. Father, we just thank you for your word today. I thank you that you empty me of Joe and that you would bring forth your word today in the name of Yeshua, the name above all names, the name of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we bind the enemy, we bind the strong man. Now just bring forth your message for us. Anoint our ears to hear and our eyes to see. In Yeshua's name, amen. I want to welcome our friends on Facebook Live who are watching. And today's message is God's deliverance never comes the way we expect it. God's deliverance never comes the way we expect it. And because of that, this often trips us up. When God brings deliverance to his people, and it doesn't come the way we expect it, and to what I'm referring to mostly today, and we've been studying a little bit Moses lately, when the children of Israel were delivered, they didn't quite get it. And so God's deliverance never comes when we want it, when we want it to, or the way we expect it. This caused the sons of Israel to stumble because they couldn't receive, everybody say receive, they couldn't receive their deliverance when it came to them. They couldn't receive it because they didn't get it. They didn't comprehend it. And we're going to talk more about that as we go along. God had prophesied to Abraham their slavery for 400 years. He told Abraham, your descendants will be enslaved in a strange land for 400 years. Then I will bring them out with great wealth, and I will judge the nation who enslaved them. They didn't get it. Like the prophet Jeremiah was reading Daniel, or Daniel was reading Jeremiah, and about the 70 years of you know, when they were expelled from Jerusalem, when Jerusalem was destroyed in 586 BC, and Daniel read Jeremiah that there would be 70 years of desolation, and the children, and he got it. 70 years, he said, this is 70 years are up. It's 586 to 516 BC. We're in the 70th year. It's time to go home. This is this. Everybody say, this is this. But these people, the sons of Israel, they couldn't get that. They didn't realize that this, you know, the God that spoke to Abraham was talking about them, and that they didn't know, the 400 years were up, and it's time to go and get out of here. And God raised up this Moses to take us home. Amen? They didn't get it. God had prophesied it, and they didn't get it. And it didn't come the way they envisioned it. So they mostly couldn't receive it, and they died in the wilderness after grumbling and complaining. They died in the wilderness after grumbling and complaining because they couldn't receive their redemption. They couldn't receive their deliverance. Let's look at reasons why they couldn't receive their deliverance. Spiritual blindness. Because of not walking with God, they were unable to recognize God, even though God brought 10 plagues on the Egyptians. So, in other words, God, through Moses, sent Moses and Aaron to help him. Moses performed great signs and wonders, turned the Nile into blood, brought frogs, locusts, hail, darkness, death of the firstborn, all kinds of flies, pestilence, disease, terrible plagues upon the land of Egypt. And with all these plagues that Moses brought, and Moses kept saying to Pharaoh, let my people go. And one time, in chapter 5 of the book of Exodus, Moses went to Pharaoh and said, let my people go and so that they may celebrate a feast to our God in the wilderness for 3 days. And Pharaoh said, who is this God? I do not know this God. Let these people, make them go back to work. There's enough messing around here, enough goofing off. Let them go back to work. And now let them gather their own straw and make the bricks, as many bricks as they were making before, but now they have to gather their own straw. And the people were angry, and the foreman yelled and yelled at Moses, and they complained to Pharaoh. And Moses, you know, God, you sent me, he must have thought, you know, when he went to Pharaoh, let my people go, okay, it's done. Pharaoh's going to listen, we're going to go, you know, they're going to send us out. Sorry, buddy. You got, I don't know, 5 more plagues to go, you know. And his own people couldn't stand him. They hated him. He was odious to his own people. And he was the deliverer, the Savior was odious. Praise the Lord. Sound familiar? Okay, spiritual blindness. Because of not walking with God, they were unable to recognize God, even though God brought 10 plagues on the Egyptians, signs and wonders. Their hard hearts caused them to not see. They were spiritually blind. And no matter what miracles were performed, no matter what signs Moses did, no matter what Moses promised them, because of their hard hearts, they couldn't see the coming deliverance, the coming redemption, that God, that this is the end of 400 years. Somebody asked me the other day, said, what's the 400 years about, Rabbi Joe? What does that mean? Somebody asked me. And you know what came to me? I've often wondered. There were 400 years between the end of the prophetic word of the Old Covenant scriptures of the Tanakh, of the Jewish Bible, and the beginning of the birth of the Messiah. There were 400 years between the end of the revelation of the prophets to the coming of the Messiah. It was a 400-year period before salvation came again. And it's interesting that there were 400 years of bondage, you might say, of before salvation came. Interesting connection there. Okay, let's look at another reason why they couldn't receive their deliverance. They failed to recognize God's hallelujah. I can't even read my own writing. They couldn't recognize God's deliverer, Moses. It says, do not touch. Psalm 105:15 says, do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. They couldn't recognize the man of God. They did not understand that Moses, and this went all through the wilderness, they couldn't understand that Moses was the anointed of God, that he was the prophet. Deuteronomy 18:18 tells us that Moses was a prophet and that God would raise up a prophet again after Moses, like Moses, and that the people must obey the words of the coming prophet. They must obey his words. And that, we know, is fulfilled in Jesus of Nazareth, Yeshua. However, the people couldn't recognize that Moses was the anointed prophet of God, and they struck him. They didn't strike him physically. They struck him with their words. They struck him with their deeds. They struck him with their actions. They rebelled against him. They built the golden calf. They didn't believe their unbelief. And they because of the way they treated the prophet, the anointed of God, they were destroyed in the wilderness. Some days 3,000 fell. Other times 20,000 fell. In the wilderness, because they did not recognize God's anointed prophet who he sent to deliver them. Hallelujah. Number 3, they lacked faith. Deliverance required them to step out of their comfort zone, their box, They did it. They did step out. They left Egypt. They put the blood on the doorposts, but they immediately regretted doing it. And we can see that in Exodus 14. Turn to Exodus 14, please. Exodus 14:10. Come on. There we go. All right, Exodus 14:10. As Pharaoh approached, the people of Israel looked up and saw the Egyptians right there. So the children of Israel had left Egypt, and Pharaoh was chasing them through the desert. As Pharaoh approached, the people of Israel looked up and saw the Egyptians right there coming after them. In great fear, the people of Israel cried out to Adonai and said to Moses, Moshe in Hebrew, "Was it because there weren't enough graves in Egypt that you brought us out to die in the desert? What have you done to us, bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we tell you in Egypt to let us alone? We'll just go on being slaves for the Egyptians. It would be better for us to be Egyptian slaves than to die in the desert." And Moses answered the people, "Stop being so fearful. Remain steady, and you will see Adonai, how Adonai is going to save you. He will do it today. Today you have seen the Egyptians, but you will never see them again. Adonai will do battle for you. Just calm yourselves down." Hallelujah. And so we see a few things here. One is their fear. The people feared. They complained to Moses. They grumbled. They didn't trust God. They had no faith. And he says, "Stop being so fearful. And God's going to save you today." And this is what they did. Remember Lot's wife? Anybody remember Lot's wife? What did she do when she was delivered from Sodom and Gomorrah, when God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, and Lot was taken out by the two angels of the Lord, came and took Lot and his family out of Sodom and Gomorrah, his daughters and his wife? What did Lot's wife do? She looked back. What were the children of Israel doing right here? They were looking back. Were there not enough graves in Egypt? You know, that we had to come out here and die in the desert? You know, God, for all intents and purposes, could have turned them into pillars of salt right then and there. That's the punishment he gave Lot's wife for looking back. They wanted to go back to Egypt. They wanted leeks and onions. You know, they didn't like what was happening to them. They were uncomfortable. God took them out of their comfort zone. You know, people don't like to be taken out of their comfort zone. Even if slaves, people don't like to be brought out of their comfort zone. They don't like to start a new life. It's hard. It's difficult to start over. Amen? Starting over is difficult. Moving, starting a new, you know, okay, you have your house, you make your bricks, you have your job, you wake up, you get up, you do your make your bricks, come home, you eat your supper, you go to bed, get up, eat a piece of bread and a little, you know, cup of hot water, whatever, go out and make your bricks again, come home, do it all over again. It's the same old, till one day you drop dead. Well, you know, for some folks, they're happier with life, a life like that. Most people will settle for McDonald's when they could have, you know, the Peerless. They could have Outback. You know, God wants to give them a nice steak. God wants to give them a real good, fine ribeye. You know, when I was in Boston, there's a place called the Cheesecake Factory. And my mother, we went out to sent us out to dinner, and she treated us. And we went to the Cheesecake Factory. It's a restaurant. They make cheesecake too. And my son Josh, the little guy who hurt his elbow today, or hurt his hand, that we prayed for, and his he doesn't eat a lot of steak, but he ordered a ribeye that night. an expensive ribeye. It was a $26 steak. And my mother was happy to pay for it. She was very happy to pay for it. She was glad to see little skinny Josh, 12 years old. She was glad to see him eat a steak. You know, he eats so many hamburgers and chicken tenders and French fries that she's glad to see him get a real piece of meat and eat it. And she didn't care about the price. Amen. And I took a bite. That was one of the best ribeye I have ever tasted. And you know what? Most people would rather have the fast food places on the parkway or up at exit 7. They'd rather go to those places and eat a burger than you know, they prefer that to a nice filet mignon. God wants to give you his best. God wants to give you a 10-ounce filet. God wants to give you a 12-ounce ribeye, but his people want a hamburger. God wants to give you a piece of a nice piece of grouper, or a nice piece of red snapper, or swordfish, or baked cod with breadcrumbs and tomato and potatoes au gratin, you know, from New England. You know, God wants to give you that. You know, most people here, they'd rather go get fried fish at Long John Silver's. You get it? People, we you know, we're stuck in our boxes. We're stuck in our minds. Our conception of our concept of God is so small, and we can't. So when deliverance comes, when God's doing a new thing and he's taking us out and saying, "Hey, I've got a plan for you. I've got a new thing. I'm going to do a new thing." Everybody say a new thing. Most people don't get it. And because they don't get it, many are called, but few are chosen. Because they don't get it, many are called, but few are chosen. I was talking to a guy one time. He was working at a music store in Abingdon. Franklin Graham asked him, said, come to Africa and work for me in Africa. The man said, "I'm making $10 an hour at this music store in Abingdon. I ain't going to Africa." He was proud of it. That was 20 years ago. He'd probably be, you know, assistant vice president of the Billy Graham Association by now if he stayed with it and went and did it. And he'd be making a lot more than $10 an hour working for Billy Graham, Franklin Graham, if he'd been there 20 years. I guarantee it. I know the association. I'm on the steering committee for the Billy Graham celebration for Will Graham coming up. I have some sense of how things work, you know. And so if this guy had gone to Africa and done his job, but many are called, few are chosen. He preferred his $10 job at the music store. Oh well. So you got to step out of your comfort zone. So the children of Israel, they walked out of Egypt, but their hearts didn't. They left their hearts. "I left my heart in Cairo, Egypt, high on a hill. It calls to me." Hallelujah. Okay, Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder, that he is God, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Diligently seek him. How did I get my redemption? How did I get my deliverance? I diligently sought the Lord. I hope you too did too. James 1:5. "But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all without hesitation and without reproach, and it will also be given to him. But let him ask in faith, without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded and unstable in all his ways." Again, if any of you lacks wisdom, Let him ask of God who gives to all without hesitation and without reproach, and it will also be given to him. But let him ask in faith without any doubting. No doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. For the person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded, a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Unstable in all his ways. I've met so many double-minded people in my life. It's scary, you know. James 1:12. Happy is the one who endures testing. God, it says that God tested the sons of Israel. He tested them in the wilderness. And why did he test them? To see if they would endure. He tests us to see. When you get your deliverance, when you get your redemption, when you get your salvation, that's just a beginning. When God takes you out of Egypt, that's just the beginning of your journey, right? Isn't the process of sanctification a lifetime process? Are you going to go through tests? Are you going to go through trials? Didn't Jesus say, in this life you will have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world? Amen? Was not Paul abandoned? Was not our Lord abandoned in Capernaum? And then he said to his 12, are you leaving too? And they said, Lord, where would we go? We live in this town. Praise God. Happy is the one who endures testing, because when the crown of life, which the Lord promised to those who love him, he will receive the crown of life, hallelujah, which the Lord has promised to those who love him, if we endure the testing. And number four, they didn't repent. They sinned, and God could have dealt with that if they'd repented. But they didn't repent. They kept doing it and sinning and sinning and sinning and sinning and not repenting, repenting, repenting. Do you know, last week we talked about putting on the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness? Putting on the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. We talked about that heaviness is a spirit. Praise is a spirit. And did you know repentance is a spirit? In order to repent, you have to have the spirit of repentance. You can say, I'm sorry, God, but if you don't mean it, it doesn't really mean anything. It's only when you have genuine godly conviction and sorrow for what you did, and you're truly sorry that you hurt God and hurt others, that's a spirit of repentance. God, only God can give you that. And you have to, it's an awakening spiritually. Your eyes are opened. Okay, so when the 12 disciples scattered and left Yeshua, with the exception of John, who stayed. When the 11 scattered, they repented. All of them except for Judas. Judas couldn't receive forgiveness for his sin of turning in the Lord, of betraying the Lord, giving him a kiss, letting the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees know who he was. Letting the high priest know who he was by giving him the Judas kiss. He couldn't repent and for his sin. So he instead of seeking forgiveness, he killed himself. Question is would God have forgiven him? Could he have ever repented? Yeshua called him the son of perdition. Was he, this is really an issue of predestination and free will. Predestination and free will. Was he predestined to be the son of perdition? Was he predestined to perish and go to hell because he turned the Messiah into the high priest to be crucified? Or did the Messiah just know he was going to do that and called him the son of perdition? Did he have free will? That's a question. I guess we'll find out the answer when we all get to heaven, right? Okay, number five, they grumbled and complained. Let's turn to Exodus 15, verse 22. Exodus 15, 22. Moshe. That's Hebrew for Moses. That's what his mama called him. Moshe. Okay. When Moshe led Israel onward from the Sea of Suf, or the Red Sea, they went out into the Shur desert. But after traveling 3 days in the desert, they had found no water. They arrived at Marah, but couldn't drink the water there because it was bitter. This is why they called it Marah, bitterness. The people grumbled against Moshe and asked, "What are we to drink?" Moshe cried to Adonai, and Adonai showed him a certain piece of wood, which when he threw it into the water, made the water taste good. There Adonai made laws and rules of life for them. There he tested them. He said, "If you will listen intently to the voice of Adonai, your God, and do what he considers right, pay attention to his commandments, his mitzvot, commandments, and observe his laws, I will not afflict you with any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, because I am Adonai, your healer." They came to Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees, and camped there by the water. Praise God. But you see, the people, they complained, they grumbled in verse 24. What does it say? The people grumbled against Moshe and asked, "What are we to drink?" Okay, now go back to verse 1 of chapter 15. "Then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song, 'I will sing to Adonai, for he is highly exalted.'" This is when Miriam led the children of Israel in dance after they crossed the Red Sea. They all sang this song, and "I will sing to Adonai." So here they are praising the Lord at the beginning of the chapter, and by the very end of the chapter, they're grumbling. Amen? All right. 1 Corinthians 10, and I'm there now, so you don't have to turn there, but I'm going to read it to you a little bit, because this is God's warning to you and me. "For brothers, I don't want you to miss the significance of what happened to our fathers. All of them were guided by the pillar of cloud, and they all passed through the sea and in connection with the cloud and with the sea, and all immersed themselves into Moses. They all ate from the same food, food from the Spirit, and they all drank the same drink from the Spirit, for they drank from a Spirit-sent rock which followed them, and that rock was the Messiah. Yet with the majority of them, God was not pleased, so their bodies were strewn across the desert. Now these things took place as prefigurative historical events, warning us not to set our hearts on evil things as they did. Don't be idolaters as some of them were. As the Tanakh puts it, the people sat down to eat and drink and then got up to indulge in revelry. Let us not engage in sexual immorality as some of them did, with the consequence that 23,000 died in a single day. Let us not put the Messiah to the test as some of them did and were destroyed by snakes. Don't grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroying angel. Listen, these things happened to them as prefigurative historical events, and they were written down as a warning to us who are living in the end of days, the Acharit HaYamim, the end of days. Therefore, let anyone who thinks he is standing up be careful not to fall. No temptation has seized you beyond what people normally experience, and God can be trusted not to allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. On the contrary, along with the temptation, he will also provide a way out so that you will be able to endure." God will provide you a way out, but he says he warns you, do not engage in sexual immorality. Do not engage in grumbling and complaining constantly as some of them did and were destroyed. These things happen to them, these judgments, as a warning to you and me who are living in the end of days. Why would God say that? Do you know any of God's people that grumble? Raise your hand if you know any. Do you know any of God's people that commit sexual immorality or have? If you know them? Do you know any of God's people that have done any of these things that it says, that committed idolatry? Any believers that have made idols out of things that, you know, they call them, they've committed idolatry? I do. I'll tell you a story. When I first became a believer, there was a drunk in the gutter in Boston, and I was walking by him, and he was asking for money, and I started sharing the gospel with him, and he said to me, "I'm saved." I said, "What are you doing in the gutter?" He had a bottle of wine. His idol was wine. His idol was wine, and that's what was brought the judgment. That's why he was in the gutter, because wine had become his idol. Okay, that's just one example. For some people, it's these things are an idol. See these things? Boys, these things, and phones, these are an idol. You spend your whole day, and adults too, looking in these things and playing with phones and spending hours with these things. Not only are you hurting your neck because you're bending over, and we're all going to be walking around when we're 70 and 80. Everybody's going to be walking around like this. Because we spent so many years with our heads buried in these stupid things. Praise God. And making you know, 10,000 people filthy rich. Praise God. All right, let's go on. Good preaching, Rabbi. As a result of their lack of faith, spiritual blindness, grumbling, complaining, obedience, they all perished in the wilderness, save Joshua and Caleb of the first generation. No others made it into the promised land. Yet God delivered them from slavery in Egypt, but they never owned their deliverance. They never took ownership, just like Lot's wife. She left with the family, but she never took ownership of her new life, of her deliverance. God came down. Everybody say, God came down. God came down and took the people, Lot and his family, out of Sodom and Gomorrah. God came down and took them out. And she looked back. And the children of Israel looked back. And there's a record from 1979 or 1978 called "Don't Look Back." It's one of my favorites from Boston. Don't look back. And it's true today. It's as true today as it was then. Don't look back. When God's moving you out, when the cloud and the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, when the cloud starts moving, follow the glory cloud. King David was delivered from deadly spears of Saul, but he never looked back. He never lost his faith. He never grumbled. During the 13 years he ran in the wilderness, God delivered him from every trial until he became king. And even on the last day, when it looked hopeless and he was in Ziklag and his own men wanted to kill him, it said David encouraged himself in the Lord. He praised the Lord. He worshiped God, and he strengthened himself, and nobody touched God's prophet or God's anointed. Naaman the leper, 2 Kings 5. I'm almost done. 2 Kings 5. This is beautiful. Second Kings 5. Naaman, commander of the king of Aram's army, was highly respected and esteemed by his master, because through him Adonai had brought victory to Aram. But although he was a brave warrior, Naaman also suffered from Sarat, leprosy. Now, on one of their raids into Israel's territory, Aram carried away captive a little girl who became a servant for Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "I wish my lord could go to the prophet in Shomron, in Samaria, that's Shomron. He could heal his sarat, his leprosy." Naaman went in and told his lord, "The girl from the land of Israel said such and such." The king of Aram said, "Go now and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." He set out with 660 pounds of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of clothes. He brought the king of Israel a letter which said, "When this letter reaches you, you will see what I have sent my servant Naaman to you so that you can heal his leprosy." When the king of Israel finished reading the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God that I'm able to kill and make alive?" he asked, "so that he sends a man to heal of leprosy?" You can see that the king of Israel had torn his clothes. He sent a message to the king, "Why did you tear your clothes? Just have him come to me, the prophet." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king, "Why did you tear your clothes? Just have him come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." Praise God. So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and stood at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger. He didn't even go to the guy. He sent a messenger. He said, "Go and bathe in the Yarden, the Jordan. It's called the Yarden. 7 times in the Jordan River. Your skin will become as it is and you will be clean." But Naaman, the captain from Syria, became angry and left, saying, "Here now, I thought for certain he would come out personally, that he would stand and call on the name of Adonai his God and wave his hand over the diseased place and thus heal the person with leprosy. Aren't Ammonah and Parpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the water in Israel? Why can't I bathe in them and be clean?" So he turned and went off in a rage. But his servants approached him and said, "My father," the little girl, she approached him, his wife, the Israelite, the little girl from Israel. She approached him and she said, "My father," she said, "if the prophet had asked you to do something really difficult, wouldn't you have done it? So doesn't it make even more sense to do what he says when it's only bathe and be clean?" So he went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, as the man of God had said to do, and his skin was restored and became like the skin of a child, and he became clean. Praise the Lord. Obedience. Simple act of obedience. Sometimes, even if your heart isn't with you when God delivers you, if you're obedient to God, your heart can catch up. Sometimes God gives you grace for your heart to catch up. This guy was angry. He was ticked off. He's like, "We have nicer rivers in Damascus, the Parpar and the other river there. We have better rivers than this." You ever seen the Jordan River? You know that song? "Michael rowed the boat ashore, hallelujah." The Jordan River is like Beaver Creek, okay? So Michael rowing the boat ashore was like, you know, pushing it 5 feet. You know, the Jordan River is not very big. Some places it's a little bit, it's a little bit more like the coming down from Damascus. What's that river there? What's it? The Holston River that's coming down from Damascus through to Abingdon. Okay, so that's the Holston. Some places it's a little more like that. You know, it gets a little bigger, not quite as fast. It's slower where it's bigger. It's kind of a slow moving river. You can actually raft on it. You can go on an inner tube and slowly drift down the Jordan River. It's not that impressive. But when you're sitting in an inner tube or a raft on the Jordan River, singing, "Michael rowed the boat ashore, holly," there's not much cooler than that. There isn't much cooler than being on the Jordan River and singing songs to the Lord. And I've done it several times. The only thing about the only thing cooler experience I've had was swimming, going for a swim in the Sea of Galilee with when nobody else was around. And God, I was scared to go in the water by myself. It was 6 o'clock in the morning. The average temperature in Israel in that June was 112 to 115 degrees every day. I went out to the Jordan. We were leaving Galilee to go to Tel Aviv that day at 8 o'clock in the morning. 6 o'clock, I went out to the beach and I was praising the Lord and singing at the beach. But I don't like to swim alone, so I was nervous to go out in the water, and there was nobody there. And all of a sudden, while I'm praising the Lord and worshiping, and with my eyes closed, and I had looked up and down, I didn't see anybody. I hear a voice, and a voice says in Hebrew something. And I said, "Anilu medaber ivrit," I don't speak Hebrew. And he says, and there was an old man, and he was wet, and he was wearing a bathing suit. He says, "Take a swim! Take a swim!" I said, "Okay, all right." I had a bathing suit on, so I took my shirt off, and I jumped in the water. And but I didn't want to go out too far, you know, because I was unfamiliar with it. And I didn't want to get into trouble. I had some bad experiences where somebody tried to drown me when I was a kid, pushed my head underwater and held me down. So I had, you know, some issues with the water. So I prayed, "God, send somebody." And one of the guys on my tour came running down out of nowhere and jumped in the water and swam out 100 feet past me. And I went out and caught up with him, and I felt safer being with somebody. And we had the most incredible, I can't explain to you the joy of swimming that day with my friend Tom, who lives in Bristol, and swimming in the Sea of Galilee. And we were like kids, and there was nobody else in the whole lake. We couldn't, no, it was nobody. There wasn't a boat. Nobody was swimming. It was just me and him at 6:30 in the morning, frolicking like schoolboys. A 63-year-old man and a 46-year-old man, frolicking like schoolboys in the Sea of Galilee. And I said to the Lord, "Lord, always bring me back here. Always bring me back here." I begged. I was pleading with the Lord. Always. It was such an incredible experience with God. If you've never been to Israel, we're planning a trip for November 15th next year. If you'd like to join us, just contact our ministry, our website. I lead tours of the Holy Land. And so if you're interested in going, if you've never been to the Holy Land, you've got to do it. Praise God. All right, so let's move on. So Naaman the leper, he wasn't even a Jew. He got healed because he was obedient. And he asked the man of God to heal him. He received his deliverance. Saved by the bell. Diane, would you grab some paper towel, me? I spilled some on there. On the table, too. Okay, Luke 4:27. Tell you can dress me up, but you can't take me out. That's what my mother always said. Luke 4:27. I'll start in 23. Then Yeshua said to them, "No doubt you will quote me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself. We've heard about all the things that have been going on in the Kfar Nahum in Capernaum, but now do them here in your hometown.' 'Yes,' he said, 'I tell you that no prophet is accepted in his hometown. It's true, I'm telling you. When Elijah was in Israel and the sky was sealed off for 3.5 years so that all the land suffered a severe famine, there were many widows. But Elijah was sent to none of them, only to a widow in Sarfat, in the land of Sidon, in Lebanon. Also, there were many people with leprosy in Israel during the time of the prophet Elisha, but none of them was healed, only Naaman the Syrian. On hearing this, everyone in the synagogue was filled with fury. What was the difference between these non-Jews of the Old Testament? What was the difference between them and the children of Israel who came out? 600,000 of them came out of Israel, of Egypt, not including women and children, not including the multitude of the Gentiles. Thank you, sir. What was the difference between them? Faith. The Roman centurion who said, Lord, if you just say the word, my servant will be healed. You don't have to go touch him. You don't have to go to him. Just say the word and my servant will be healed. And the Lord said, greater faith I've not seen in all Israel. It doesn't matter if you're Jew or not, if you're Jew or Gentile, it's how much faith that you have to receive, to believe. Praise God. So what the sons of the Israelites, they got angry. The Pharisees got angry when Yeshua said, you know, in the time of the widow in Sidon, that from Lebanon, she had faith, you know, and Naaman was a leper from Syria, and he had faith, and he got healed, and the Jews got angry. The leaders of the Jews got angry with Jesus and wanted to kill him, right? They wanted to kill him because he said, he pointed out truth from the Old Testament, that these people in the Old Testament had more faith than they did. It leads us, Luke 4:27 once again leads us to the sons of Israel missing the power right in front of their eyes. Not all of them, but many, especially the leaders, because of their hard hearts, not knowing how their redemption would come, not seeing the Messiah standing right in front of them, because of their disbelief of Yeshua's miracles, salvation, miraculous salvation. Instead, he went to the Gentiles. In Romans 11:11, Paul says, salvation has come to the Gentiles to provoke the Jewish people to jealousy. Salvation has come to the Gentiles to provoke the Jewish people to jealousy. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him, whosoever, would not perish but have everlasting life. If the Jewish people would not accept their Messiah, it was time God had spoken. It was time for the Jews to be a light to the nations, to go to the Gentiles, to be an Or LaGoyim, to bring the gospel of salvation, the new covenant, to teach the Gentiles about the Messiah, to go to the nations and preach the gospel to all nations, making disciples. But God never forgot Israel. He never forgot the Jewish people. Resurrection is a completely Jewish concept. It's in the Bible. The prophets, it's in the writings. The sages spoke of it, such as Maimonides, who said, I believe with perfect faith in the resurrection. The Talmud teaches the resurrection, and it's in our prayers, like the Amidah, the 18 prayers, called the Amidah, which Jews pray every day. It's in there. Resurrection is talked about. Yet to most Jewish people, it's a stumbling block. They cannot accept the resurrection as Jewish. They cannot accept the resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth due to ignorance of Scripture, ignorance of the sages' teachings, and prayers in the synagogue that they pray themselves, some of them, when they go and they say the Amidah, which says Melech Ozer Umoshiach Umagein, they say the Melech Ozer, which says, and King Redeemer, you raise the dead sleeping in their graves, you are mighty to save. And still, the resurrection is a stumbling block to Jews who've been singing, you raise the dead sleeping in their graves, you are mighty to save. For thousands of years, they've been saying it in the synagogue, and Jewish people stumble over the resurrection and see it as a Christian thing. And it's Jewish. Religious Jews get it to some degree. My uncle Max had his body flown to the Mount of Olives, and he was buried on the Mount of Olives so that when the resurrection came, he'd be one of the first ones up. Because the Jews who do believe in the resurrection believe that those buried on the Mount of Olives are going to be the first ones to rise. And, I don't know, Bill. Jacob had his bones brought back there, and so did Joseph. And the teachings of the sages is that they had their bones brought out of Egypt because they wanted to resurrect from the dead in the promised land. So I can't say, I don't know where the resurrection is going to be first or what, or if it's just being in the promised land. All right. Resurrection is a completely Jewish concept. All right. But it's the hardness of heart. Just like Naaman had a hard heart and didn't want to go dunk in the Jordan River, the children of Israel had a hard heart coming out of Egypt. And today, Jewish people and many secular Gentiles have a hard heart. They're so humanistic, and they have self-exaltation. They believe that we have the power. Man has the power. We're above any god. That our salvation is in ourselves. That we have we can do it through our own thought, our own creation, our own minds can save us. We can't save ourselves from the flu. We can't save ourselves from sepsis. We can't save ourselves from cancer. We can't save ourselves from a heart attack. We can't save ourselves from getting hit by a car. Can't save ourselves from breaking our necks, falling down the stairs. Can't save ourselves from an airplane crash. Without God Almighty, you can't save yourself. And so you can be, and so, so the disciples in the time of Jesus, they couldn't understand their deliverance. Remember, this message is, they didn't get it. I'm going to go back to my page one for a second here. God's deliverance never comes the way we expect it. When Yeshua came and God brought salvation to the world, nobody got it. He said to his disciples several times, I'm going to have to go to Jerusalem, I'm going to die, then I'm going to come back from the dead. And you know, he performed miracles, healing, healed lepers, he healed the sick, he healed fevers, he healed the blind, he raised the dead. He healed, did all kinds, he unstopped the deaf ears. He opened the mute tongues. He healed, you know, all kinds, fed the multitudes. He performed all kinds of miracles. He cast out demons, and they didn't believe because of their hardness of heart. Because of their hardness of heart. Praise God. 2 Corinthians. So even in the time of Yeshua, their salvation had come. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him. God saved the world. The world just didn't receive its salvation. God saved the world. When the blood of Yeshua, when the blood of the Messiah hit the ground, the whole world was saved. All you had to do is believe to get it. To pick up that salvation. You just had to pick it up. You just had to pick it up. There's my salvation. Take it. Take hold. There it is. Is it there? Am I making this up? Is it available to you? And you? and your children and your children's children and your cousin Susie and your cousin Hank and your cousin Billy and your uncle Fred. Yeah, it's available today just like it was 2,000 years ago. You just got to take hold of it. God, for God so loved the world, redemption has come. Deliverance has come. We just have to open our spiritual eyes and see it and say, yes, Lord, I believe. Wash me, cleanse me, fill me, heal me, save me. Last, Romans 14:23, but whoever has doubts is condemned if he eats, because the eating is not from faith. For whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. You see, if we live a life without faith, then we live a life of sin. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Last scripture, 2 Corinthians 4. See, in 2 Corinthians 3, God says, he talks about removing the veil, that when the Jewish people read the new covenant, the veil will be removed from their eyes and they'll be saved. In 2 Corinthians 4, it says, God has shown us such mercy that we do not lose courage as we do the work he has given us. Indeed, we refuse to make use of shameful, underhanded methods, employing deception or distorting God's message. On the contrary, by making very clear what the truth is, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. So if indeed our good news is veiled, it is veiled only to those in the process of being lost. They do not come to trust because the God of the Olam Hazeh has blinded their minds in order to prevent them from seeing. The Olam Hazeh is this world. The God of this world has blinded their minds in order to prevent them from seeing the light shining from the good news about the glory of the Messiah, who is the image of God. For what we are proclaiming is not ourselves, but the Messiah Yeshua as Lord, with ourselves as slaves for you because of Yeshua. For it is the God who once said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has made his light shine in our hearts, the light of the knowledge of God's glory shining in the face of the Messiah Yeshua. But we have this treasure in clay jars, so that if it will be evident that such overwhelming power comes from God and not from us. We have all kinds of troubles. See, when you get saved, you're going to have troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but we are not in despair. Persecuted, yet not abandoned. Knocked down, yet not destroyed. We always carry in our bodies the dying of Yeshua, so that the life of Yeshua may be manifested in our bodies also. For we who are alive are always being handed over to death for Yeshua's sake. And the children of Israel didn't like that being handed over to death part. There's a great deal of dying to self. When you receive your deliverance, they don't give you they give you this instruction manual. But if you don't read it, you're not going to know about the part that says you're going to have to die to self. Amen? We are always caring about the dying of Yeshua, so that the life of Yeshua may be manifested in our bodies too. For we who are alive are always being handed over to death for Yeshua's sake, so that Yeshua's life may also be manifested in our mortal bodies. Thus, death is at work in us, but life in you. The Tanakh, the Old Testament, says, "I trusted, therefore I spoke." Since we have the same Spirit who enables us to trust, we also trust and therefore speak, because we know that he who raised the Lord Yeshua also raises us with Yeshua and brings us along with you into his presence. All this is for your sake, so that as grace flows out to more and more people, it may cause thanksgiving to overflow and bring glory to God. This is why we do not lose courage. Though our outer self is heading for decay, our inner self is being renewed daily. For our light and transient troubles are achieving for us an everlasting glory, whose weight is beyond description. We concentrate not on what is seen, but on what is not seen, since things are temporary, but things seen are eternal. It's the grumblers, it's the complainers, it's the people who can't handle the testing, who can't handle the pain of his testing, that don't make it. They don't make it. They don't. Many are called, few are chosen. It's those people who cannot stand the pain and of the trial, of the testing, that brings them through the purification, the refiner's fire. And it brings them, it takes the dross away and takes and to reveal the fine, the pure gold. Amen? And it's only the people who can allow God to bring them through that fire and open their spiritual eyes from blindness to see with spiritual eyes what God is doing. Will you make it? Otherwise, you'll get thrown off your camel. If you can't see with spiritual eyes, you'll get dismayed. Fiery trials will come upon you, and you'll want to run away like Jonah. Pray that God keeps you. Let's all stand up. I'm going to pray for you. By the way, we're not having oneg today. There's no lunch being served today. All right. Abba, Father, I just pray and ask. I want you guys to pray these words with me. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would keep me from the hour of temptation that is coming upon the world, so that when your glorious appearance comes, I will be found faithful in the earth. Thank you, God, that you give me the strength. Give me the spiritual eyes to see. Give me the spiritual ears to hear. Oh, keep me, Lord. Keep me. Don't let go. Don't let me fall away. Don't let me lose my calling. Don't let me lose my place. In Yeshua's name, I bind the enemy. Amen. The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panavelecha. Ichunecha, Yisa Adonai, Panavelecha, Vayasem lecha, Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace, Shabbat Shalom. Greet one another and have a wonderful day.